Welcome to episode 113 of the Kraken Pod, a podcast for Seattle Kraken fans, those new and old to hockey, and hockey fans looking to have some fun. Along with you, we try to go into what lies beneath when it comes to everything Seattle Kraken and the NHL. Kraken reaction, are we having fun? This is kind of fun. The youth movement, NHL news, playoffs, a couple of records, NoDem questions. What are the most shorthanded goals scored in one penalty? That's a cool one. I don't know what the answer is. Three stars of the week. What have Joey and I been up to? We'll rank them. So let's get to it. Episode 113 of the Kraken Pod. Let's go. What is up? Vibes are good. My name is Jeff Junuzic. This is my friend and co-host
Joey Cirillo.
Heads up.
Yes.
This is Jeff will not be swearing today. I did just speak in the third person.
Okay.
Spring break. Kids out of school.
Spring break. Okay. We were having a quick conversation before we started recording, and I heard kids. And I made a joke, not just about your, I'm like, in general, I'm like, kids in Louisiana are just never in school. I swear on my life.
Catholic school, big time Catholic state. Uh-huh. So any chance they get, Mardi Gras off for a week.
Yes.
You've got Easter, which they Good Friday they were off, and now they're off through this whole week. They don't go back to school till Monday.
Unbelievable.
And then they're out of school like in mid-May. So it's really in the home stretch, which is great. You know, one bonus is that my wife and I are like, you know, because they have to go to school early. So we got to get up, which isn't bad, but like we have to get up at like 6 to get going. So at least in the summertime, like, you know, we can sleep till 7-ish or whenever. We don't have to set an alarm, which is nice. So like,
okay,
that is the bonus this week. Plus, you know, since I run my own business, I'm flexible. Meg works so she can go do her thing. So like today's the one day she's going to come home early. I got to go to Mississippi to do some client stuff. So anyway, long story short is the kids are home, and I'm saying that because there could be interruptions. I did tell them I was on a phone call, because if I told them I was recording my hockey thing, they would come here and ask questions. Mm-hmm. So just a heads up, I don't want to put it out there, but there may be some interaction. And to Brandon, our producer, don't worry about editing anything out. It's just going to be all natural. And I think it's, you know, not lost on me. The youths are in the house, and the youths are in the Seattle Kraken right now. So how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm not doing as good as you, Mr. Moneybags, last night. Hitting that good vibes only parlay. How about that? Way to come back in with a heater.
No pressure. I honestly think that's why this team is starting to kind of like feel okay, because there's no pressure. You know, we're not
there's gonna... nothing to lose. They're just like, fuck it. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, they're playing for pride, right?
And that's what I actually was going to make that good vibes parlay earlier in the day. But Shane Wright was not listed on the DraftKings Sportsbook app. I waited till just before game time to throw that down there.
Smart.
And I did like the way okay. And by the way, Father Kanner saved my butt on that.
Oh, my God. How's that empty net goal at the last second coming in? I mean, holy crap. I mean, you really came in hot.
Yeah, because I picked the money line for the Kraken. I picked Shane Wright to score a goal, which was huge. But you could – the vibes. It's all vibes with that being called up in the AHL.
The line he was on, too. You're like, oh, he's going to get some serious action tonight.
I really liked – I mean, we can – you know what? Let's get to your Kraken reaction. Okay, let's just keep talking where we left off. He was flying around, lots of great chances. Awesome to see that. He seems like he's been, you know, sitting down there and just aging nicely, like a fine wine, right? He's just like,
that beard he has going on. He looks different. So looks like he's put on some muscle. Yeah, he looks. I was listening actually to the radio call because I was getting some work done around the house. I was pulling a Jeff last night, so I had the radio call on, which, by the way, is great.
KJR, what's up?
Yeah, shout out to KJR.
93.3. KJR.
Here's the Muckleshoot Casino. I'm like, oh, God. I swear to God. Dude, the crazy part is growing up in Washington State, I remember like watching Mariners games when I was a kid and like having Muckleshoot Casino commercials during the break on like my cable TV with three channels. And now, you know, I'm 39 years old and I'm listening to the radio on my phone while I'm getting work done. And there's Muckleshoot, you know, casino. Anyway, it's just insane. I'm like, I can't believe these motherfuckers, they're still going strong. So shout out to Muckleshoot Casino.
Muckleshoot.
It was good, but I was enjoying the radio call last night. And really quick, I know we're talking about the young guys here, but since we're talking about this game, how about Jordan Eberle's 700th NHL point coming on the assist on the Shane Wright goal?
That's pretty awesome. I mean, that line was flying. I love that yeah. line. That was fantastic.
Yeah, they really were. Bjorkstrand, his 20th goal of the season. Beers for Beniers, a goal in three straight games.
Also a goal in the first.
Where has that energy been all season?
30 seconds. There's no pressure. And it's the Sharks. It's the Sharks. No pressure, but
the Sharks. Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. He scored last game as well. I mean, don't get me wrong. The Kraken lost to Dallas, and we'll cover that in a second. But I mean, you know, a goal in three straight games. It says I need this energy to carry over into next season because I really like the way Maddie's been playing. Like you said, he scored 29 seconds into the game.
That was nice. I mean, that's what I want to see from the Seattle Kraken of 24-25. Quick starts and strong finishes.
Could not agree more. Also, Vince Dunn made his return. 12 games he missed as a result of the hit from Pospisil. 12 freaking games, Jeff.
I'm not going to look. I know I have a problem, and that problem is turning the Jeff Lasso. But I think.
Oh, God, here we go.
Now, they're not going to make. I'm not going to say they're going to make playoffs. I accepted that. But I think they're going to go on a little bit of a run because Vince Dunn is their best player. He's their best player. I think just having him back there gives the boys some confidence. And I think he anchors the team, whether he's like at full speed or not. And that's what's awesome. So I think having Vince Dunn back is going to help this team. I think besides the Kings coming up in this next week, we've got a pretty fairly easy schedule. I think they go on a little bit of a run and this is like, I don't know, you know, if you play golf at all, if you've ever played golf, and there's other sports like this too, but like, you know, I'm not good at golf at all. But there's like the last shot you hit of the day is like that one shot that makes you go, I'm going to come back and do this again. And that's kind of what the Kraken are like right now. It's like you get the whole round. You're like, God, this is terrible. I'm so bad at this. This is so frustrating. Why can't I do this? And then the second to last shot, you hit some nice shot. Like you're just warmed up and you're like, oh, man. And that's just enough to get you to come back for another round. Mm. That's what's going on with the Seattle Kraken right now. Is they're giving us just enough to get us like hooked, which we would be anyway for next season. So I like it. I like the vibes. I like the youth movement. I like Shane Wright up there. I like seeing Vince Dunn back. I like Riker Evans. You know, I like Maddie doing great. I love Ty Cartier. Like I just love the youths.
And I think how about the villain arc of like Ty Cartier just getting in the mix with dudes, becoming a pest, just out there irritating other teams and like guys around the league, you know, not liking him because he's becoming that guy. I'm loving it. I am all here for it. Did not see it coming. Mm-hmm. The Cart's villain arc, man, it's becoming real and it's fantastic. On top of that, the dude is playing out of his mind. He's been playing great.
Oh, he's great. Let's go back and start with last Thursday.
Okay.
It was nice that, you know, a team we should beat.
Yes.
Beat the Ducks 4-2.
A team we should beat. It got a little hairy, though, Jeff, because the Seattle Kraken, and this is where the no dumb questions came from that we'll talk about later on in the episode here. When the Seattle Kraken gave up two shorthanded goals on the same power play that they were on. And I, being an idiot / new hockey fan, tweeted during the game, has this ever happened like in NHL history? Because I'm like, this is so embarrassing. I've never seen that I can recall against the Seattle Kraken, them allowing two shorthanded goals while they are on the same power play. So they had to overcome that. And to their credit, they did. The Kraken rallied. He scored three goals in the third period. They actually matched a season high in power play goals in the game. Anaheim had 12 penalties, 8 of which were in the third period, which is insane. Schwartz, Burakovsky, and Beniers all had power play goals, and Karts that we just talked about had the go-ahead goal to win the game. And this is a great note that I took from Allison Lucan on Ty Cartier for this game. 20 shifts, 5 block passes, 3 hits, a game-leading, draws 4 penalties, and he gets the game-winning goal. This was the Ty Cartier game.
It was great to see. I love to see. I want... you know, the Seattle Kraken yearbook. I want to have like Ty Cartier's, like, you know, everybody sign it and be like, dude, awesome season, Carts. Good to see you. Like, get your legs underneath you. All right. You know, like, I'd love to see that. And that's, that's what I would write is like, you know, love to see your villain arc as you coined, which is fantastic. And that's exactly right. That's what we need. We need somebody who's, you know, not afraid to mix it up and get in there and do his thing. And also too, be an offensive threat. So
yes,
I love where they're at. And I'm telling you, man, I am telling you is that sort of Kraken stuff. I can't say the real word because the kids are home.
You have headphones.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm telling you, this game against Anaheim, like sketchy, you know, bad stuff going on as far as like, you know, giving up those shorthanded goals and then moving into Dallas, getting, you know, just totally smacked around.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. By a really good team.
A good team. That's won a lot of games in a row and they're pushing. I mean, they'll be in playoffs. Yeah.
I am not going to simplify things, but I am. And I'm telling you, Vince Dunn being gone for 12 games, that was the end of the season for us because he anchored last night in San Jose. We beat the team. We looked good the whole game.
I would hope so. They're the worst team in the NHL.
Finished strong, but they they beat Boston. They beat a couple. They're still
NHL team. They also, for some reason, the Kraken have an issue playing in the Shark Tank. They really do. Like that, we have our struggles going into San Jose. It has been an issue for us. I mean, remember getting shut out before the All-Star break. You mentioned this without their best player, by the way.
Yeah. And I love that you said that about, you know, playing at home versus, you know, playing on the road in certain spots, because the Dallas, I didn't know this about playing at home, mm-hmm. but that foreshadows the Dallas game.
Yeah, the Kraken get blanked. Like I just mentioned, 3-0, 17 shots all net for this, all net all game for this Seattle Kraken. At this point, it's Dallas's seventh straight win. Ottinger gets his ninth career shutout and second on the season. I don't mind giving him a shout out because I honestly love watching him play. He's one of my favorite goalies in the league. It just sucks when we're going up against him because we're going up against a brick fucking shithouse. There's two things I really want to talk about here. One is the stat that was thrown out during the broadcast that I actually had to make a note of here in all caps. How about this? The Seattle Kraken are winless at home on Saturdays for the entire season and are the only NHL team to do this. If it's a Saturday and the Seattle Kraken are at Climate Pledge Arena, you're guaranteeing them a loss in 2023-2024 season. What in the actual F, Jeff?
You're adopting that too. I like that.
It felt appropriate with rhyming with your name and, you know, there's kids at the house.
Yeah, thank you for that. Thank you. No, that's really weird. I don't know how you fix that. I think you fix that through the plan, which is healthiness, youth, and adding some talent in the offseason. And for some reason, there's some weird pressure being at home. Maybe it's because they know that beers are super expensive at CPA. Maybe they feel weird. I don't know how they feel. I don't know. I don't understand it. I don't know why they don't do well at home, but it is what it is. So
I don't like it.
I don't like it. But also, too.
Such a weird, because it's one of those things where it's so random until it's not. You know what I'm saying? It's like you get a big enough a sample size. And by the way, this sample size is, I don't know, the entire fucking season. Mm-hmm. And now you're looking at it and you're just like, wait a second. Like, have they not won a single game at home mm-hmm. on a Saturday this year? And the answer is yes. And now it's become a thing. Mm-hmm. This team next season has to men in black that from their memories and get this weird little monkey off their back, because this is a situation that is so strange. And in the day and age of tracking everything and having data for everything, you know, you're going to pay attention to things like this, whereas maybe in the past, not so much.
The Stars, by the way, nobody's talking about the Dallas Stars. And they are the second best team in the NHL. They're a team that I don't hate. And I'm kind of thinking, I'd like to see them go on a run, because the rest of the Western Conference, I'd love to see lose, but the Stars, you know, they were pretty darn good last year. You know, they pretty much, you know, beat us around in the playoffs, and then they ran into, you know, their issues, but I think they may have figured that out. I think Dallas, man, nobody's talking about them. Even the Preds, people are scared of the Preds, talking about the Preds, but mm-hmm. I think Dallas is just, they could be that team this year.
I do feel like Nashville gets more attention than Dallas. Do you think that Chris Tanev going over to Dallas was the move to kind of get them over the top?
I mean, it seems that way. I mean, you don't really know until you see it, but you know, if in whatever opening round opponent they get and he is a factor in that, then absolutely, which I could totally see. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, the guy's awesome. So,
okay, fair.
You know, we know his energy level. Yeah.
Okay. Last note here on Dallas. Want to get your opinion on this. And speaking of Chris Tanev, Larson gets assessed in this game, a 5-minute major for a hit on Tanev. You know, he's against the boards. They're both going for the puck. They reviewed it in 2 seconds and were like, yep, this is a major for elbowing. After watching the replay, what did you think?
I mean, you know, they have to do something. They have to
Is that a major though?
I don't know.
The definition? I mean, because I'm trying to really be objective here and not be a homer. I'm looking at the play and I'm just like, I can see there being a penalty. Now, there was another angle where his elbow did look pretty bad, right? It looks like he kind of led with it a little bit there, but I don't know, man. And then there's like no point in like debating it because it's over, it's done, it happened. But this is like the first time I think I've seen a penalty like this called against the Seattle Kraken where I'm like, where the fuck did that come from?
I think that the refs now, towards the end of the season, like if there's any sort of question on whether it's a minor or a major, I think they're going to side with the major.
Well, yeah, because you can always reduce a penalty. You can't escalate one up, right? So you're going to call a major and be like, hey, we can assess. But if you undersell it, and then you're screwed because if it's something else, you can't go up.
Right. So they're going to give it, and it's, you know, at the end of the day, it's not going to end up being super crazy.
Yeah.
You know, so they have to kind of do it. So yeah, I mean, I don't think it was necessarily a major, but at the same time, like, okay, whatever. Let's just. I'm just kind of like, I want to get to the off season so badly.
Me too.
To see what's going on and what these guys do. Now we have to sit through, which will be fun. You know, I'm looking forward to it. It's kind of like, okay, when like the Kraken season,
spoons, well, all you need is a knife.
Yes, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. Which by the way, her acoustic album, a version of that album, Jagged Little Pill, so good. I love that. But anyway, it's like one of those moments where like I can't really enjoy hockey until the Kraken season is done, just so I can be like, okay, let's put that on the shelf, come back to that in a little bit. You know, I can enjoy hockey's off season now because I'll be super pumped to see what they do. So I'm just kind of like, all right, cool. 5-minute major, sure. Move on, whatever.
Yeah. No, I agree. Also for me, you know,
terrible, but
wanting Tanev to be okay, and he was. He was able to return. It didn't look good. He's really holding his arm there for a little bit, but he returned. I just wanted to get your input on it. I'm watching the play, and I'm just like, I don't see. But it was interesting because it sounded like the, you know, Seattle Kraken broadcast was actually on board with it once they kind of slowed it down and showed different angles. Like, yeah, it is what it is. I don't know.
They're like, let's just go. Let's just move on. Okay, yeah, sounds good. Let's just move on, guys. Let's get to the next game. Come on.
Basically. Yep. So speaking of moving on, so the Kraken last night, we talked about they win the game 4-2. Upcoming games Wednesday, so tomorrow at Los Angeles Kings, Friday at Anaheim. We're starting to see a theme here, starting to kind of hit, just kind of replay all the hits. And then Tuesday, so like a 3-day weekend, Tuesday back at Climate Pledge Arena versus Arizona.
Kings still, you know, looking good, strong, tough team.
Yeah.
Although they are fighting hard because they are now hanging on to that last playoff spot. The Blues close to them, just a few points behind, 3 points behind. So they're hungry. That's going to be tough, and that's going to be a good. I think the Kraken win that game. I am telling you, man. I'm looking forward to this game because I think the Kraken win. Mm-hmm. It's on the road. Vince Dunn. As long as he's healthy and good,
yeah.
I think he is literally the glue that holds his team together. So, like, I predict, I see the Kraken. If I see the Kraken beat the Kings, then we need to put Vince Dunn in bubble wrap until next season, and we just sit. So
I like it. Oh, you know what was really funny? Speaking of the Kings, before puck drop last night against San Jose. They were talking, they being the internet, was like the Seattle Kraken are still technically not out of a playoff spot, which is hilarious. Look up their odds at like 0.0%. But in order for them to be officially eliminated from playoffs last night, I don't know if you saw this, it was the Seattle Kraken had to lose and the Los Angeles Kings had to beat the Winnipeg Jets. And I saw that stat and I laughed and I go, watch both of these things be the complete opposite of happening. That's exactly what happened. Winnipeg beat the Kings and Seattle Kraken beat San Jose. And then, of course, tomorrow night, now we have Los Angeles Kings in LA, which, by the way, I don't understand how they're in that Los Angeles market. And I do feel like they're one of those teams like a Dallas, where despite the very large market and despite the very good team, they're still kind of slept on, which I think is a great position to be in when you're fighting and you're in for a playoff spot.
I don't know how the money puck odds deal works, but when we beat the LA Kings, I would like to see the odds of the Kraken making playoffs go from zero to like maybe 1.2%. Like that would be that'd be a win for me. Like we have a shot. We have a chance.
Screenshot it. Yeah. We just have to win every game from here on out. And then also we need these six teams to go on crazy losing streaks. That's all we need.
Yeah. We beat the Kings. We climb back into the playoff race with a 1% chance. And I'm going to screen and I'm going to love that for 1 second. And then, yeah, Anaheim, Arizona. I'm not saying they're going to go on a run, but I feel like they're going to go on a run as long as Vince Dunn stays healthy. So,
all right. Well, it sounds like you're very confident. So it sounds super like a good vibes only parlay should be laid out for the game against Los Angeles. I'm just saying, by the way, congrats on last night.
Oh, thanks.
Turning that 10 into 90. What a win for you.
It was anytime there was a vibes like story, like Shane Wright coming up.
Yes.
That's a huge deal, which, by the way, the story on Shane Wright coming up is I think he's only going to be up for a couple of games because he can only play three games for the parent team. Right. So for the big dogs Kraken. And if he plays more than that, he will lose his eligibility next year for the Calder Trophy.
Yes.
So I'm going to guess they're going to ship him back down just to, you know, keep room for that, because we saw what we needed to see already, you know, which is great. So I don't know. What do you think? Do you think he's going to stick around and forego the Calder for next year, or do you think that he's going to go back down?
No. First off, that's a great note to bring up. I actually saw shout out to the fellows over at Emerald City Hockey. I saw they were throwing out some stats around that, and I think that's very important to note that he can only play three games for the Seattle Kraken. If he goes anything over that, like you just said, he's going to lose his eligibility to play for the Calder. I don't think that the organization is going to put him in a position to lose the Calder just so they can get him some more reps at the NHL level when this season's practically done. And you also have the Coachella Valley Firebirds, who are again going to be in the playoff,
right?
Going to be going for that Calder Cup.
Yeah, let's go.
You do not want him ineligible for that as well. So I think he's going to get, you know, three games max with the Kraken, one being last night. So I don't know. Look for him to play against LA and look for him to play. I mean, what's the game after that? Let me look it up. LA and Anaheim. Mm-hmm. And that's perfect because then he's close to home. He can just hop on a quick flight, catch a bus, do what he's got to do, and go back down to Coachella. So
smart. You see, I love you're thinking that's exactly what the play is going to be, because I love that factor of being like logistically close. So that's exactly what's going to happen. Love to see what Shane Wright did. He just total fit last night with Ebbs and Schwartzy. Just, it was awesome. So,
And he's been really good. By the way, this year with Coachella Valley, he has played in 56 games. He has 43 points in those 56 games, and 20 of those are goals. He's growing up right before our eyes.
We just need talented pieces for next year. He's one of those guys. And I think somebody's coming in the offseason, and we'll see what's up.
That top six has to be addressed. But yeah, that's a conversation for later.
That's what I'm saying. All right, so let's look at the playoff picture really quickly. In the West, your clinchers so far are the Dallas Stars, who are just crushing it right now, seven in a row, like Joey mentioned. Yep. The Avs, they're locked in. The Canucks are locked in. Those are the only teams that have officially clinched in the West. But the Jets, the Oilers, still sitting pretty. The Golden Knights with 90 points, Preds sitting in that first wildcard spot with 90 points, and then the Kings with 87 points in that second wildcard spot. And like I mentioned, the Blues, they're back there, 3 points behind the Kings. And the Blues, the Kings have one game in hand. So like they got 74 games played, and the Blues have 75 games played. So like, that's a nice little race. The Wild got to start getting some winning going here. They're sitting back with 79 points. And then just behind us, behind them, the Seattle Kraken at 75. So I'm telling you, we beat the Kings and we got that 1% chance. There is a chance. Now on the East Coast, the Eastern Conference, your Bruins, Joey's favorite Boston Bruins, they're sitting there clinched.
I do enjoy them, which makes people I also enjoy the Rangers, though. So come on now.
You can't root for the Bruins. Rangers, all right, that's fine with me. I'm cool. Look, the Panthers clinched. I'm great with the Panthers. I'm great with the Rangers. I'm great with the Hurricanes. They're clinched as well. You also got the Leafs, who are sitting pretty, and the Flyers. Looking all right, actually, because they are in a crappier conference. Now, your wild card teams right now, Tampa is looking all right with 89 points. They just lost for the first time last night at the hands of the Detroit Red Wings, who needed to win. So they're right there in the mix. The Caps sitting there at 82 points, and so are the Red Wings at 82 points. Caps,
dude, what is going on with the Caps? Like that team, they're not even like that good of an overall team. They're just, they keep finding ways to win. Like this is nuts, right?
Just good enough. The OV factor too. Like they just, they know how to win. I mean, they've been there before, they've done it, and they're figuring it out. So the Red Wings, you know, they're right there and it's theirs to have, but they really, they gotta get some mojo going. So, the Islanders, really need a point. They're sitting at 79 points, just behind the Red Wings. And then the Penguins are like, oh, okay. Like there's a shot for them, but they really got to string things together. So
yeah, that's not happening there.
And playoff again, races.
I think I still never looked this fucking stat up because, you know, Statman things. Thank you. I believe this might be the first time that Sidney Crosby misses playoffs in back-to-back years. I know really, really upsets you. I don't know how you're handling that emotionally with how much you love him.
Well, you know, actually last night he got a point. So he is now, he's averaged a point per game.
He had two goals last night. Dude, he's on my fantasy team and I'm first in our league. You think I don't know this?
Well, I'm last in our league because I haven't touched it in 3 months.
I know you haven't.
Why do I keep trying? Why do I even sign up for that? I don't know.
Well, you don't. That's the point. Yeah, you drafted and then you ghost like Swayze.
For 3 or 4 weeks I was doing it and then I just...
Well, I'm proud of you for those 3 to 4 weeks. Listen, thanks, life happens. I forgot to set the roster a couple weeks as well. I did.
Sitting in first place. So thank you for that. That was nice. That was nice of you to throw that up. You're dumb.
But Sidney, so good. Yeah.
You are. You are. Sidney Crosby, he's going to average a point per game for his 19th season, which ties Wayne Gretzky for the most in NHL history. So, like, you know, hey, look, Sidney Crosby is... I will say last night is, it was funny. Did you see Shesterkin giving Crosby the business behind the goal? That was kind of funny.
No, wait, what? Well, I missed that. What happened last night?
Shesterkin was annoyed by Sidney Crosby and got under his skin, which I think that's part of what he does. And that's why I don't like him. And Shesterkin came behind the net and started giving him some business, started smacking him around. And play didn't stop as far as I could tell, but like he was throwing a little, he came behind the net to go at Sid the kid a little bit and gave him some cross checks with that big old goalie stick. And
yes.
And there you go. So
I love it. No, I absolutely love it. Igor doesn't play around when it comes to shit like that. So by all means, what are you going to do in the off season? The Seattle Kraken and make a move and bring Sidney Crosby to Seattle. Then he's Sid the Squid.
That's funny. That's real fun. I like Sid the Squid. If you come to one of my teams, I'm in.
Oh, you would buy his jersey so fast.
I would turn opposite of heel in a second. Yes. Like I would go pro. Yes. I would. Red Wings or Kraken, I would totally do that. So like I'm in, you know. The only person I could never do that with would be from back in the day, Claude Lemieux. That's the only person I could do that with. That's it.
No, that guy pisses me off, and I'm not even, you know. I mean, this is a Detroit Red Wings podcast, but the way Claude Lemieux played, I mean, basically what we saw from Pospisil when he had those hits on Larson and Vince Dunn was like a microcosm of how Claude Lemieux played all the time, but like in the playoffs and was severely hurting people. Yes.
So for Wednesday's game against the Kings. I will bring the Good Vibes Parlay back after that awesome win last night. Thank you again, Father Canner. Awesome, you know, giving the sign of Father Canner right now.
Yes.
Praise be Holy Canner.
Yeah, Holy Canner. Happy Easter from Father Canner.
DraftKings Sportsbook makes it so easy. And here's the thing is like, you can bet big time bucks if you want, and you can find, you know, like the tournaments going on right now. You've got golf, which is, I think is fun to make some picks on. There's so many different, ways that you can place bets, and you can put big time bucks down, but you can put a dollar or two. It's just something that for me, I like it because it makes things a little more interesting, when it comes to watching sports. So you could do the same thing, especially with hockey. Playoffs right around the corner. Download the app now. Use code THPN when you sign up. So that's the Hockey Podcast Network. We're proud members of that. Make sure you use that code THPN because new customers get $150 instantly in bonus bets for betting just $5 on hockey. That's code THPN only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. The crown is yours. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. If you got a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. All right. And see our show notes for details. And if you're going to listen maybe to this podcast, the Kraken Pod, or listening to 93.3 KJR, you might want to use some Raycon wireless earbuds. And here's the deal with it is, you know, everything is so expensive. It's crazy how expensive things are. Inflation's out of control, especially when it comes to buying like the name brand, big brand, fruit brand, you know, earbuds. But Raycon, they keep things super affordable, but the tech, everything about it, perfect, awesome. Like, you're going to get awesome sound quality with Raycon wireless earbuds. You are going to get awesome battery life. You're going to get guaranteed money back. If you don't like it, you can send it back. There's 2 years of a warranty. There's no reason why you should not try Raycon wireless earbuds. So listen to the Kraken Pod, right? So go check it out because there's a sweet deal. buyraycon.com/THPN. Go to buyraycon.com/THPN today. Get 15% off your Raycon order. That's buyraycon.com/THPN to score 15% off. buyraycon.com/THPN. There you go. No dumb questions. Joey kind of foreshadowed it a little while ago. Here's how it works. You're nervous about asking another podcast a question because they're going to laugh at you, which they do. They do. Well, you can ask us any dumb question you want because half the time we don't know the answer. We'll look it up for you, though, because we're here to support you, right? Whether you've been watching hockey your whole life, like Joey, or you just started a year or two ago, like me, you ask any question. We'll never make fun of you. We welcome it in a segment we like to call No Dumb Questions. So, Joey, what is this week's No Dumb Question?
Excuse me. I'd like to ask you a few questions.
This week's No Dumb Question, again, comes from me because watching the game and Seattle giving up two freaking shorthanded goals to Anaheim, which is a horrible look for the Seattle Kraken. And me, again, being an idiot and a new hockey fan, was like, has this ever happened in the history of the game? Because like this is absurd. And there was a lot of replies be like, yeah, dude, watch, you know, go on YouTube for 2 fucking minutes. Anyways, the question is, what are the most shorthanded goals scored in one single penalty? Did you, by the way, know this?
No. No, okay. These are cool stats that, like, I may have heard it one time,
yeah,
you know, but no, I have no idea.
Yeah. And shout out, also, there's a handful of people that reached out to us directly, and they're like, that's your no dumb question for the week. And I was like, yeah, I could not agree more. I really want to know this. So the answer is three. The Boston Bruins, which everyone knows is my favorite team,
yep,
against the Carolina Hurricanes, April 10th, 2010. Boston took a minor hooking penalty with 17.4 seconds left in the first period, and in a span of 64 seconds, while on the penalty kill, scored three shorthanded goals, and that is the all-time record for most in a PK. By the way, another random fact I don't have written down here, Mark Messier is all-time for shorties. He has scored 18 in his career.
Hmm. Okay. That's, you know, Mark Messier was awesome. Like, you look back at the Oilers of old, and you, yeah, go like, man, you had Wayne Gretzky, but you had Mark Messier, you had all these guys that played on that team, Paul Coffey, mm-hmm, Jari Kurri, like all the, and then Like it was, and then they went off to other teams and did amazing things as they broke up the Oilers. It just goes to show you like how incredible they were, winning four in a row, four cups in a row in the '80s, which is insane. Am I thinking of the Islanders? Anyway, they won a shit ton. So,
it's crazy to think that now that everyone says that Mick Jesus is the best player like in the history of sport, and yet he hasn't done anything. I mean, it's really crazy when you think about it.
Mm-hmm. It's totally crazy. I like that. I like that. I will never forget Mark Messier, you know, basically willing the Rangers to win the Stanley Cup in 94, which is pretty cool. So
that's awesome. Yeah. I was 10 years old.
Three stars of the week. Wait, how in 94? I was 14, 15. I was 32. I was 32 years old. Three stars of the week. This is where Joey and I rank the stuff that's been happening, in our lives. And it's fun. I think you went first last week.
I did. Go first.
All right. Fishing. Third star of the week. We went for Easter weekend. We went to Grand Isle, Louisiana.
Oh, that's right. You did go to Grand Isle.
It was awesome. My brother-in-law's got a place there. And Grand Isle is like, if you look at a map of the United States and then you find New Orleans and then you just don't zoom in, but you just take your finger and go like, just like come down from New Orleans. And then once you get into like, maybe like a centimeter into the blue for the Gulf of Mexico.
Yes.
That's where Grand Isle is. It's literally one of the last strips of land. It is a long island off the coast of Louisiana. And it got devastated in 2019 from Hurricane Ida, but it's like a barrier island, and people go there to, some people live there, but people go there to vacation and enjoy. And then you don't really, it's not, the Gulf is blue, right? Most of the Gulf is blue and beautiful. Yeah. But this, it's not blue. It's like, you know, it's brown water, but there's beaches and there's, you go there to fish, you go there to do all that sort of stuff. So, we went and spent time with family there. My brother-in-law, who's like born and raised, you know, Cajun from New Iberia, he just grew up fishing and he's the best host for that sort of stuff. We went on his brother's, brand new boat. I didn't know it, but it was the first time they took it out.
And yo, that's awesome. Taking off the slip for the first time. Let's roll.
Dude, this is a $500,000 boat. And nice. But boats are super expensive, because you could look at it and you go like, that's an awesome boat. But like to know that it's like $500,000, you go like, what? Boats are crazy expensive.
They are. I used to have a friend that lived on a houseboat, and I considered it for years, being like, I should just buy a houseboat and live on that.
It's they're so expensive. And
I know.
But we went, it was cool. We went and fished for sheep's head, which sheep's head love to eat the barnacles and all that sort of stuff that grows on whatever's out there, right? So like
bomb
there's,
of boats.
There's oil rigs, there's offshore oil rigs all over the Gulf, right? And you can see them from Grand Isle. So we took this badass boat out and we went to an oil rig and we just we're there for 2 hours for 2 days in a row and just pulling out sheep's head, which is awesome. Now, it was super choppy and wavy, and we brought one of my twins, and she went down, and she had it rough. It was really rough. So she had a little seasickness, so I sat with her and chilled out. Yeah. And we went back the next day because I thought she could ride in this different part of the boat and she wouldn't get seasick, and she did get seasick again. So there was a lot of that.
She but it was seasick again?
She did, but my son caught a whole bunch of sheep's head, which was awesome, and it was fantastic. By the way, my daughter just showed up dressed as Belle from Sleeping Beauty. I need so what you need, honey? What's up? What do you need? Oh, I said Sleeping Beauty. I'm sorry, Beauty and the Beast. She's correcting me. What did you need? Mom's gonna be back probably around noon. Yeah, and then I'm gonna go to work.
I mean, she's right. Beauty and the Beast way trumps.
She's Beauty. So she's literally wearing. What's funny is she's. Can you go hang that dress up, please? Thank you. But she's wearing a Belle shirt underneath her Belle dress. So totally.
Oh, so this is a really. So I have to say two things really quick. One. Yep. So I am the guy that because I get seasick as well.
Oh yeah.
When I was in the Navy, I know where you're going. But when I was in the Navy, I did not. But my boat was huge. I mean, my ship had 3,000 people on it. So I mean,
yeah, you're not going to feel that.
No, I mean, don't get me wrong. I've been in some, you know, like those like videos on TikTok where it's like, yo, they have to show the ship. Like, I've been in storms like that multiple times, and I'm but it is what it is. But I was like, on small boats and stuff, I've gotten seasick. And so I'm the guy, I always have Dramamine on me, and I take it before I get even on the boat. Yeah. And I did that. It's going to sound bougie, but this past summer or whenever it was, off season, when I was in Greece and Italy, and I had like a day where I was boating around the Mediterranean, and I had Dramamine, took it before I got on the boat. And as people were getting on, I was like holding it out. I was like, does anybody want one? Take one. Everyone's like, no, we're good. Dude, 30 minutes in, and this is on a calm day. 30 minutes in, I had half the boat coming up to me like, hey, you have any Dramamine? Like, I'm really not doing too hot here. I'm like, y'all should have taken it. I'll give you to it now, but it might be too late. And it was too late for like 10 people. Like, they were toast the whole day.
Gone. And that, once it sets, and I actually kind of felt, because it was crazy out there. My son, not affected. He's just fishing, and like the boat's like going up and down by 6 feet. And he's like throwing, he's just catching sheep's head and loving it.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude, I started to feel a little bit too, because I was sitting there, you know, with Colette, and I started to, brutal. You know. Yeah,
but it was fun. Time.
Yeah, totally do. But we still had a good time. It was great. So that's my.
And
third
here's a really no dumb question that I'll lay on you.
Okay, no, hold on 1 second. You should talk about your third star real quick, and we can come back because I got a crying.
Oh, okay, yeah, situation. I'll go my third star. Okay, yeah, I'm actually gonna switch up my stars of the week, and I'm just gonna go my third star, and I'm not putting them third for a reason. But my third star, I'm gonna go with Seattle Mariners. And just baseball season in general. I believe I actually might have used him as a star earlier. Whatever, doesn't matter. I'm just so fucking happy that baseball season is back. There really is nothing like it. Maybe I'm like an old head when it comes to that, but there's something about baseball season being back and the weather getting better. And spring is here, and the boys are out, and the grass is cut, and it smells awesome. And I really like the look of this team. Like, the Mariners look like a solid team. They have like the best rotation in baseball. They split the series with the Red Sox. That is not an easy series to start off the season. They took a win from Cleveland last night. I'm really, really excited for the Mariners this year, which I say every year, and then I get my heart crushed. I'm just excited for baseball season in general. So my third star of the week, I'm definitely going to have to go with a baseball season / go Mariners.
I love baseball. I mean, like, the first, I would say this is like the vibes of baseball, because after the first couple of weeks, I tune out big time. So, but just like the feeling of like, it's springtime, baseball's going on, pollen's everywhere, just completely, you know, sneezing at everything, which is awesome. So
I was just thinking of, have you seen my baseball? Something about Mary. Need to rewatch that.
Oh, yes, it is. Yeah.
Baseball season is back.
Yes. My second star is the Crescent City Classic, which is it's the 10K. It's a big thing that happens in the city of New Orleans every year. It's like the big annual, like, you know, a springtime thing. Serious runners go, non-serious runners go, people who just want to like walk for 6 miles and drink, they go. And that's what we did. We took it seriously. Not really. We didn't train for it or anything. We just did it. My wife, myself, my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, we did it. It was awesome. I actually did all right. I finished within an hour and 4 minutes, which is pretty good. Just about 11
personal minute record. Mile. Did you PR it?
Personal record. Cause I've never done it before.
Okay. So technically you PR'd it. Way to go. New record for you.
But here's the deal. I would have broken an hour.
Yeah.
But I mismanaged my morning liquid intake. So like, I had a lot of coffee and a lot of water. And like in the first half mile, I was like, I have to go. There was a line of porta potties, and I had to wait in line because everybody's doing the same thing. So the race is going on, and I had to wait in the porta potty line. So I lost like probably 5-6 minutes. So I would have broken an hour, which is not too bad. But it's really cool because people are out in the street, you're running through the streets in New Orleans. So people are like, you know, official volunteers are handing you stuff. There was an official spot where like Dragos handed us beers, which is awesome. While we're running, but then there's people on the street, like just people who live, who are like having little parties, and they're like handing out Jello shots and just all these things. The vibe of it was really cool. And the last, like when I got to mile 5, that was like, dude, I'm about ready to like give up. That's where like the mental fortitude had to come in. Okay. And I had to force myself to go through it. And I got to tell you, dude, is like, I need to run some more. Ironically, before my move, I was running like 2 to 3 days a week.
Yeah.
And I hadn't really run in a month or so leading up to it. My knees are just now recovering from all of it. So, but it was awesome. Great experience. My wife and I loved it. We totally were like, you know, we got to do that again. So, came away. I'm now a marathoner. I didn't know if you knew that.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I figured you were going to be up in Boston, New York City for those marathons here soon. Oh, I just remember. Can I ask my no dumb question for you as a parent?
Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
So at some point, so I noticed that like kids get to a certain age or point or whatever. Again, I'm obviously do not have kids. I have a cat, which is basically like having two kids.
Yeah.
And I noticed that like all the kids watch the same stuff, like movies and television wise. What has there ever been like, this is, I know this is going to sound fucking insane. No. Can you just be a parent and make a mental decision where you're like, I'm not going to raise them on Disney. They're going to be raised on like Quentin Tarantino movies. Or do they get to a point where it's like, they're at school and all their friends are talking about it. Like, oh, I watched this and I watched that. And it's like, and then they have that understanding. Like at what point does that flip? Cause like as a parent, only so much is in your control, right?
Yeah. That is, it's scary. And also too, like, but you have to give them, like, they know, you know, devices are something that's really important to us to monitor. Now, look, they've been watching TV this morning for a couple of hours, right? So like it's spring break. We're working. I'm doing this podcast. Great parenting going on right now. Yeah. But like, so they watch TV, right? And, you know, they have Nintendo Switches, which, you know, like, my son was like, I want to play Fortnite. Like, no, you're not. Other kids his age play Fortnite. Like, no, dude, you're not playing Fortnite.
Yeah.
But we try to monitor that big time and make sure they're not like getting into too much. So they know what they can watch and not watch. Now, I've started to introduce them to some things, like we watched The Princess Bride the other night. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, it's on Disney. There's a few things in there that push it a little bit.
Like, this is Kill Bill Volume 2.
Yes. Yeah, so we're going to go to that next. No, so like we monitor that for sure. But I'll tell you what, I know there are kids that I know that like don't get monitored at all on what they watch. And I've heard, you know, a couple of stories from some kids I know that watch like crazy horror movies and now they're having vivid, crazy dreams, you know? So
that was me as a kid. My dad was like, hey, here's this, I think like Stephen King movie. And I'm like, I'm 8. Yeah.
No, I'll never forget is when I was like probably 8 or 9 back in the day, Unsolved Mysteries was huge. Like in the late 80s. Oh yeah,
that music, dude.
Oh, and there was one episode where like, and I'm not really into it, but like I was into it for a very long time. Like there was one episode where they talked about alien abductions or like, and that was the first time I ever heard of like the Greys and the big eyed aliens, you know?
Yeah.
And I watched that and I was like, what? And like, I could not sleep for 3 or 4 days. I vividly remember like my mom was like, go to sleep. Like I could not stay asleep. I was so freaked out. And that's what I'm trying to avoid is that sort of thing, because, you know, that sort of stuff is for sure can leave an impact. So that's a great question.
Yeah, no, because my question is, and it doesn't come from being like, when can I show a 5-year-old a radar movie for my niece and my nephew? My question is more so like, you see a lot of times parents like, oh my God, I've seen this same episode of Bluey 37 times.
No, that's,
and a part of me goes in my head, I'm like, well, you control what's on the TV. Why can't you just put on something that you enjoy that we want to show them? That's also appropriate for their age. But another part of me is like, I'm sure there's kids at school being like, you need to watch this. And they come home and they're like, I want to play this game. I want to watch that show. And you're like, shut up. We're watching Inglourious Bastards.
I grew up, you know, slightly parented by TV.
Yeah.
And gaming and that sort of stuff. And
soccer.
Right. No, I will say is like they just naturally find things. Like they don't they go in streaks. Like right now they're really into Dude Perfect, which is fine with me because Dude Perfect, I know, but like they actually, you know, it's pretty entertaining.
But they're kid friendly dude.
Very
like they know exactly positive, what they're doing. Yes,
clean. Like it's very positive. And it's healthy. It's like healthy, like they mess with each other. Like it's not like
some fun. There's we're going to throw a football through these trash cans. It's like,
and they do crazy stuff, but they're like, you know, they make fun of each other. So it's more adultish and there's like, but it's never like, never swearing, never like really making fun of somebody. You know, they do make it's positive, wholesome stuff. So I was like, okay, that's cool. And like all my kids are pretty competitive in some ways, so they really enjoy that. But
I get it.
You know, I will say is also too, one thing is like I think a lot of kids' programming has now gotten to a point where like they know parents will watch it too, so they make it pretty decent. And I didn't grow up a Disney kid, but I'll say is like most of the Disney movies that we watch, like I thoroughly actually enjoy them, which is
yeah, fun. No, I do too. And then the crazy part is you get older, and then you realize all of like the subliminal messaging for adults in those movies. You're like, oh my God.
Well,
that's nuts.
It's a good reminder. Like my son's almost nine. Twins are seven and just barely seven. And we were watching Princess Bride, and there was this, remember the scene? I mean, if you remember the rodents of unusual size scene?
Yes.
Well, like, you know, 80s movie, and these things were snarling, dripping with the, you know, like saliva, like, and jumping on, like, it was definitely a little freaky, like, looking, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And one of my daughters, like, kind of ran off crying, and, like, she struggled that night. So, like, it made me remember, like, okay, I got to make sure that, like.
Yeah, some stuff doesn't age all that well, right?
It was
a little something.
It's just naturally occurring. Like they're getting into things now that have more stories to it. You know what I mean? Like, they're okay. So anyway, great question. It's just, we slowly take it as we can. And also too, like they've been in the other room watching stuff for the last, you know, hour, 2 hours, really.
They're going to go again. Then they're going to be watching Happy Gilmore.
That'd be okay.
Yeah.
Happy Gilmore 2 supposed to be coming out. It's pretty cool.
I don't know how I feel. I mean, listen, Adam Sandler signed off on it. And if he signed off on it, then it's okay. But it still bothers me. That movie is perfect. You can't touch it.
It's perfect, but it's its own thing. Like Happy Gilmore 2 will be its own thing too.
You know, it's just a lot. And also Chubbs is dead. So anyways, whatever.
Chubbs, the actor who played Chubbs also has really passed away. Yeah, you're right.
Carl Weathers, yeah.
Anyway, you just talked about Seattle Mariners. My first star, I'll keep this short. It's kind of neat, is here at the club, at the house, is they actually have a tournament happening here this week. And it is the Future Stars of the LPGA.
Nice.
So basically it's like, you know, basically young women, right, who are like, I guess like maybe probably college athletes, you know, college golfers. And they actually are playing here as part of like, it's not an LPGA event, but it's like a official golf event. So I'm really excited about it because like our house kind of looks at the first green. So like on Friday and Saturday morning, I think we're going to sit outside in a safe spot where we can, you know, watch some of these women come through and play in a tournament. So that's kind of neat.
Heckle from a safe distance. I'm very happy for you.
I'll be drinking Bloody Marys and screaming at 20 something golfers. No, but I'm excited to have the girls, you know, because like I think they're going to give golf a shot. They do enjoy, you know, getting out there and swinging golf clubs and stuff like that. So like I really want the girls and Ford to see
you know, badass women just owning the course.
Yeah, so that's kind of cool. So that's my first star, is kind of like the spring vibes of that and golf and getting geared up for it. So
love it.
Pretty psyched.
I will go really quickly through mine as well. Just Final Fantasy Rebirth. I know I'm very close to the end of the game. In fact, the only reason why I'm not there is and two, I've just been doing like side quests and little mini games and stuff like that. I won't get into the details of it, but it has like reinvigorated my love for gaming. I wish I had more time to do it. I almost did not pull the trigger on it, but I'm glad that I did because it's just been fucking fantastic and it's a great game.
I do miss that, you know, I probably won't ever get into gaming again but like that gives me vibes of like playing Resident Evil or Silent Hill.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Getting sucked into it and just like really just enjoying it. So like,
yeah,
that's pretty cool. I'm a little jealous of that. What's your other star? I went through mine.
Oh, you went through all yours?
Yeah.
Oh shit. Well, my last one is the Overlook Film Festival. It's a local festival here.
Yeah.
At the Britannia Theater.
Great,
which is
great.
A single screen movie theater that's over 100 years old. It's super awesome. And long story short, the Overlook Film Festival is a scary movie film festival, which is right up my alley. I love scary movies, and I also just love movies in general. And I actually got an invite yesterday to attend, so I think my weekend will be spent at the Overlook Film Festival just watching scary movies and eating, you know, movie snacks. It's going to be fucking awesome. So I'm very, very excited for that. Was not expecting that email. So I'm pumped to go and check that out.
Good for you, dude. I know. Look, I'm telling you.
I love that stuff.
I might mention that every single episode from now on is like Joey's picks for, you know, flicks. Joey's picks for flicks, dude.
I like that. That's a good one.
Dude. But also, like, you know, movies, TV, any sort of media. Joey's got some really good picks there. So, like, I'm excited to see what you see. And if we report back on, which is pretty cool.
Dude, I picked up a book a little bit ago, and I'm only a couple chapters in, and it's getting really good. I've been telling everybody about it. I'm like, you got to read this book. And now I look it up, and it's like New York Times bestseller. The author, it's his first ever novel. He's like skyrocketed to fame. And now they're naming it as probably the best book of 2024. I'm like, what the fuck is happening? I know it's not because of me. It's because of the writer. But I'm just like, this is nuts. And I've been telling everybody about it for like a month and change or longer.
Dude, forget Good Vibes Parlay.
I know.
Joey's media picks. Something, I'm trying to think of something that rhymes with that. That's not a word for a body part.
Yeah.
But there's something there, dude. I'm telling you, you do have some picks there. So, Good Vibes Parlay,
by the way, if people are curious, is Martyr by Kaveh Akbar.
What is that about?
It's a fiction book about
out.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. I don't like fiction either. And that's how good this book is. I'm telling you right now, it's fucking awesome. And also, it's his first time ever writing a novel. He's like, he's actually a poet and put together this novel and now has like Scott, like this dude is going to be like the next big, I mean, it's just so fucking good.
Nah, that's cool. I'm telling you, like,
I don't like fiction either, by the way. I'm with you on that. I'm like, give me nonfiction, biographies, the whole deal. Like, give me the real shit. But this is worth it.
At a certain point, every day, I have to like tune into something creative or inspiring from somebody else to like, and like, cause I, you know, to fault, like I get anxious and think about, you know, work or
life
issues in life, like way too much. So like, I have to consciously be like, I'm going to give myself the excuse to like tune out for a half an hour and watch The Office or listen to a podcast or an audio book or something that just makes me go like, okay. And that's how I get my Jeff Lasso-ness is like, I listen to what you know, cool things that other people have created or doing. And that really fires me up. So like, the last time I read a fiction book was like some sort of, you know, spy novel thing, which is pretty badass.
Nice.
Which was a long time ago. Brad Thor writes these awesome books about like this Secret Service dude. But anyway, long story short is like, if your track record of media picks, like that makes me want to pick up that book. So
it's
let me know when you,
man. I mean, it's like making the top list of like every list right now. The dude it's really, really, really good. And apparently there's such a turn in it, like a big, big, huge twist.
Yeah.
And it's like leaving people like they have to walk away from it being like, like what the fuck was that? Like and apparently it's that good. I haven't gotten there yet. It's starting to get a little weird, but I have no idea the direction it's going and I'm loving it.
Well, that's a great, great segue into huge twist for the 23-24 Seattle Kraken. We're going to go on a run to end the season. Vince Dunn is healthy. He's back. He's the corner piece. He's the centerpiece. He's the anchor, whatever you want to call it for this team. Mm-hmm. And when he's in the lineup, the Kraken play differently. We're going to enjoy these next few games with Shane Wright being called up, which is fantastic. I love the youth movement, what's going on and seeing what they do. So I see Shane Wright scoring some more goals. I see good things happening. I see a Kraken team beating the LA Kings, sneaking back into the playoff hunt with a 1.5% chance.
1.2.
That's right. Let's go 1.2. Let's go 1.2. It's going to happen, and we're going to celebrate it. So we're going to celebrate it on Thursday morning. Mark it. Joey, have an awesome week. Thank you, Brandon, the producer. Appreciate you. And, man, have an awesome week. So let's go Seattle Kraken. Life is good. We'll see what happens. And let's leave you with our Kraken Pod Chirp of the Week. Is that happening?
It's happening every week. Also, when you do a thumbs up, you know your screen does like a giant bubble.
It does this on my work meetings too. Like if I do a thumbs up.
You've done that. It happened last week too. And I was like, what the hell?
So it's not just because like we're doing this through a StreamYard, right?
But now it's not doing it. It's never done it for me, but it does it for you.
Is it what is going on? Because it does it when I do our Google Meets too through work. And we do it stops us in our tracks and we're all ADD and we like completely lose our train of thought. So
all right.
Thumbs up.
Now that we want it to happen, it's not happening. Oh,
there it is.
Go.
There it is. Yeah. Sweet.
Wait, maybe do you have to just say it? Put your thumb down and then just say it.
Thumbs up, dude. Thumbs up. Let's try middle finger.
That's not happening.
I'm shaking my. Okay. All right. Have an awesome week. Let's go Kraken. Here's your chirp of the week.
Here's a long pass for Bajot with Paye middle. A shot. Score! Make it three! They have equaled their shorthanded output for the season in a single penalty kill.